Okay, after the march, why don't you tell me a little bit about some of your activities related to your photography that you had there, your what you call guerrilla camera, and
okay, the movement to me, farm worker movement, was very, very, very important, and I had this urge, this feeling that some of the photographs that I had taken, which did not get, you know, too much press. I got a little thing in one of the some of the magazines, Newsweek, I think, covered had a picture, and what was the magazine out of San Francisco, Ramparts.
Yeah,
I had a little three or four pictures, and I one page pictures in that magazine, and of course the People's World picked them up, and some of the throwaway papers or some of the Berkeley Barb type papers, I guess Los Angeles Press, some of those, you know, the small papers and the union papers picked up some of the photographs, but you know, well, they weren't widely circulated, and this didn't disturb me that they weren't widely widely circulated, in the fact that we want to I want to get my pictures out. It was that, you know, I thought maybe the pictures could do something within themselves of people, just understand the people who were trying to get better conditions in the field. And so I started something I called it Guerrilla Camera. And what I would do is put together photographs on drying trays, prune drying trays. I come from the Santa Clara Valley, and when I was grew up, there was nothing but prune. Well, there were other apricot trees, but prune trees were one of the main things. That was the, you know, I was a prune picker, and they had these trays that they would dry them out in the fields. They're made out of redwood, beautiful construction in a sense, very simple. But they were about the size of a panel, you know, that you 8x4 panel. They weren't exactly, and they had an edge around them, you know, like a little framing around them. They were slats of redwood and had a framing around them. They were beautiful trays. So I was able to pick up and buy some of these from. I used to go on the highway, 280 highway, going south to San Jose from San Francisco, and they would just, I saw these trays there. They were there, Los Altos. It was that. They were out on the in a field, and they were just been there for years. And I went to the people. I said, "I'd like to buy the trays, and you know, some of the trays. I want to use them on. You aren't using these anymore, are you?" "No, we aren't." And, so they just gave them to me. I don't think I have to pay. They take some. And so I got about eight trays. They were a little flimsy, and they didn't last. I wish I still had them. They kind of fell apart. But I would mount the photographs on these trays. I would mount the photographs and bleed mount. If photographers know what that is, you just you don't have borders on them, and you bleed it. You put it on a mounting board, and then you cut you just have the picture. You cut away any of the margins if there are any, and trim them, and put them on. And this way, you could use more photographs on a tray without, and you could use them in a like a way you would do in a magazine. You could have a layout, you know, if you had a car, which
right.
A picture of a car, which I have, of a grower's truck, and inside the cab he has a gun in there, and it's leaning against the thing, and then you could have juxtapose that with a picture of a little child or something out in the picket line, mm-hmm. and you get this juxtaposition. So you could actually kind of have a story. And of course, you would have your caption too, and a little bit about it. But I would put I think about six of these trays together, and then I made stands for them that they could stand up, and so I could put these in if there was a demonstration at a Safeway store in San Francisco, and we were going to have demonstrate. I could go and put these trays up, and we'd have I would have these exhibition outdoors. Sometimes it's only one day. You put them up and take them down. But I would get rent a trailer or something and put them on the back, and just put everything in the trailer and take, go.
And your goal in doing this?
Well, this was to, I think, to enrich the people who were going to a store or whatever, and tell them, show them a little bit about what the strike was. And nobody ever said to take them down or anything. I usually, if it was like a Safeway store, maybe I'd only have two trays. I wouldn't have six because you'd take up too much room.
Right.
Or I might even just have one. But the idea was to go to places and put them at outdoor art festivals. I also had these in labor halls. I had a big show for the Farm Workers at the Longshore Hall in San Francisco. And where they meet there down mm-hmm. at by Fisherman's Wharf there. And I would have it in colleges. I had one at Hartnell College, a show there. I just go in and put it up on the, I got permission to
right.
do it, but it was up there for about a month during the lettuce strike. And it was okay. At Gavilan, I had a show at the-
Gavilan College?
Gavilan yeah. College. And so the idea was to use the photo, and I could change the show. I could
sure.
take these down because I put them on so that I could take them off. And so I must have had 30, 40 shows doing this. And over a period of, I would say, like a lot of times you leave a show up for at least a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a period of maybe 4 or 5 years even. And I put everything, I had it at Salinas, I also had it at the Carpenter's Hall there.
Uh-huh.
And at the Union Hall. And so I kind of thought it was effective, but you know, it was interesting, the Union didn't know I was doing it. They didn't know I was doing this. Nobody knew except a couple of guys who once in a while helped me. John Lewis would help
uh-huh.
me sometimes.
Would you combine work with John or?
No, he was doing his own thing. He was he was working as a printer.
Okay.
And so he had his own thing, but sometimes he would go with me
So this was just more for an educational experience of the people
yeah.
being there to try to at least visually understand.
Right, and it was the idea too that helped me is using the photographs.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of times you take photographs unfortunately, you don't get a chance to show them because, you know, you go to a gallery and you say, I'd like a photo show. And they say, what's it about? And you never get a show at a gallery. So you have to find your own
right.
places that'll take them. It was Union Hall, schools, those type of things, festivals. I like the idea, and I hope it did a little bit of good to get people to give money to the union and
sure.
support the union.
What was your after the march on Sacramento? What was your next major involvement, that you can remember? Your next big shoot with the union?
Oh, it was probably I guess in the 1970 I guess would be the Salinas letter strike.
Can you describe that situation for me?
Well, it was. It was kind of an interesting, it was different, I think, than the grape strike and further down in the valley. It just kind of seemed remote in a way. I don't know why. I guess it's maybe because the workers are, when you try and contact workers there in the fields, you know, specifically, they're usually always so far away,
uh-huh.
and I don't know. It just didn't. There was something that was different, and I think it was probably because I think Caesar really wasn't that much part of taking charge of that strike. I think. I think that was one of the things he wasn't because of the distance from
right.
From headquarters
right.
there, and I think that was part of it. You know, and the Delano thing was kind of a thing that was kind of all together there. And even when they moved to King, there was a lot of opposition for he moving out to the King.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, he could never get any work done, you know, if he stayed there in Delano. I mean, people
yeah.
come in and he'd talk to everybody. People come in and, you know, ask them, they, where can I get a house, you know, or where can I get some, you know, a place to stay. And of course, he would, you know, don't turn anybody down. So you know, and he couldn't probably get work done that he had to with the union. Gans, I guess, was one of the people in charge of the Salinas strike.
Oh, Marshall Gans?
Marshall, yeah. And I think he did a good job and all. And I took quite a few photographs, but it just seemed to be redundant, a lot of the photographs that I had already taken before.
Really?
And they had a march and went on that march, you know, just through Salinas area. And I went to some of the meetings and went to some of the, you know, the picket lines. But it just seems that I was repeating what I had already done. And of course, I was working on the outside, and I would just come in maybe for a day or two, or I don't think I stayed over in Salinas at all. And so it was just kind of a different, it was kind of like, I don't know, distant.
Right, right. The first one seemed to have all the magic.
Yeah, well, it seemed to, yeah. And this is like it's just doing over again, and
yeah.
I think we had lost a lot of the contracts, and it would seem that we were just kind of receding in a way, and I don't know what it was.
I understand. Now, you were one of your more famous photographs is the one of the of Robert Kennedy and Cesar. Am I correct there during the fast?
I guess so. I think there were a few. Yeah, that with and that happened. I think those photographs, 1968. When the fast, the end of the fast, I think, and there were some before that,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't really printed up some of those. I just saw them not too lately, and I think I ought to, in which they are together, and I think some are on the picket line and whatever. But yeah, I think the Robert Kennedy was really he was a hero.
Yes,
the farm workers.
Yes, he was at that time.
And because here now, you know, before I think farm workers had some heroes,
mm-hmm.
you know, people in the union and of course Zapata and,
right.
and all that. But here's a guy who came from down from Washington. You know, the Washington is, you know, I'm sure it's in the image of people's minds, but people really don't know, you know, much about Washington that were farm workers, I don't think. A lot of them didn't. And here was a guy who was coming down from the capital of the United States.
Right.
He was influential in the government. His brother had been president and all that. And here he's coming to, you know, to the farm workers or to the meetings and to the to celebrate later at the end of the fast and going to be running for president. I think he was really helped in the morale of the farm workers.
Major boon to the morale?
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, of importance that this person would take time to come of this stature. And of course, Walter Reuther and
mm-hmm.
some of the big union people came to at different times, and these are all important.
Right.
And so I think and it was a tremendous, you almost felt there was a tremendous chemistry between, when they were together, Cesar and Robert Kennedy. They just seemed to kind of click together. They're both, they're both Catholics.
Right.
And they both had, I think, I mean, that was kind of probably one level that they were somewhat similar. And then I think their feelings toward individuals, I think, even though they come from entirely different classes, I think they had this kind of same idea for humanity.
It seemed like it. After you shot any of these particular events, what did you usually do with the photographs? Did you develop immediately, or would you take your time with them? Or, I mean, we've talked about the
yeah.
guerrilla camera, but
yeah.
Would you try to freelance them to publications?
No, I didn't try. sometimes you just spend all your time doing that, and it becomes very frustrating. And I didn't care to get into that frustration. I didn't need the money from the photographs. Again, I'm kind of sorry that I didn't try and get in more publications and whatever. And I did send some to Wayne State University, to their archives, and they have some, and I don't even remember what photographs I sent to them.
Well, a number of your photographs have appeared in books without any photo credit.
I know, and yes.
Does that upset you at all?
Oh, a little bit, but I'm glad they're in the books. First, I mean, number one. But I think you're talking about, I think, especially Wayne State. They didn't, they give Wayne State Archives the credit, but they don't give John Kuntz credit.
No.
But that's okay. I mean, I wish they would have, but it might be my fault, because I take complete responsibility of a lot of the things that happened bad to me. And it's not that I don't give a damn, but it's because of my callousness, and or I'll do it later. And it's possible I didn't even stamp the prints that I gave to him, and I think I gave to him all 11 by 14s, and I think they were mounted on a little very thin mount, but just so that they would hold up. And I don't, maybe I didn't stamp them. I thought I did. Oh, I could have, well, I don't know.
Okay.
It's been so long ago.
Sure.
But I must have given about 25 photographs of some of my better photographs, so I think they do have a little collection. And we have a son-in-law now who comes from Detroit, and I just might go to Wayne State there sometime if we ever get to visit their family, and I check in on the archives,
sure.
And we'll probably find it's a closet somewhere.
Probably. Sometimes this happens. You know, you were recently, we first met at the event up at La Paz a couple months ago, and you've been a participant in the union now for many years.
About 30 years, 35 years. Well, since 65.
Right. Do you feel it's had an effect on your life?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's been a major thing in my life. I mean, that and the civil rights movement. These are really highlights in my life, and it was kind of interesting. Anne and I, my wife and I, we went up to Petaluma. Oh, it's been a couple of years, about 3 years ago, and our representative is Wilsey. Is her name, and she's a very good representative, Lynn Woolsey. And we went to a Democratic fundraiser there in Petaluma, California. And John Lewis was there. John, not the John Lewis, I'm talking about the photographer, not the photographer.
Okay.
John Lewis, the representative from Alabama,
okay.
The House of Representatives, was there, and he had just written a book about the civil rights movement, and he was in Selma. Well, when I happened to be there, but he was there all the time. He was there years, a couple of years. In fact, he was born in the state of Alabama, and he had risen from a young leader in the civil rights movement, an infantryman in SNCC, because he went out. He went out where other people didn't go. Where Mr. King didn't even go, Reverend King, until it was kind of settled. You know, we got a movement going here. So
is John Black?
Yes, he
okay.
is.
Now is he the one who was beaten up?
Oh, he's beaten up all the time.
Okay. Okay.
Every time he crossed the bridge, they were waiting for him. No, he was beaten up a lot, but. But like when we Ann and I went to that meeting, I went after the meeting was over, and went up to him and asked him if he would sign his book, and I said that I was in Selma the same time you were, and taking photographs and we had a hug.
Good.
You know, but this kind of. Feeling stays with you all
yes,
your life.
Certainly it does.
Yeah, okay.
How do you feel about the unions changed? The unions had to grow and develop over the years. How do you have any inkling or any feelings towards the future, its future direction?
I'm still involved in some of the union activities whenever they have them, and the what is it, the service workers union, mm-hmm. now union, international union. I think it's very important that we're organizing new areas that need to be organized, and it's hospital workers and hotel workers, service work. It's kind of funny. The longshoremen have organized, I think it was Local 10 in San Francisco, the International Longshoremen, organized the messenger guys on the bicycles. I think that's the greatest thing. It's almost like a Hell's Angels without motorcycles.
There you go.
There's so many things to organize now, and I think we're just trying to stay even in the movement, in the union movement. Because they're trying to get rid of time and a half after 8 hours.
Oh, yes.
And if you don't have a union contract, you're liable to get, if you make so much money, you don't get time and a half.
Right.
If you're in a certain management capacity, or not management, but lower white-collar worker who works overtime, you don't get time and a half.
Right. So where the UFW may not be as successful as it once was, specifically dealing with farm workers, it's finding success in organizing some of these other groups of workers.
Yeah, yes, that's true. They have some furniture workers that they organized here in Los Angeles. They've been going after other small, possibility of small factories where a lot of Latin Americans work, mm-hmm. now, because they're the primary sources,
right.
for blue-collar jobs, and most unions don't take on the small operations. I mean, small, you say 200 people,
right.
or something. So they are kind of going, the United Farm Workers is kind of going into some of these areas. And I think it's wonderful, and I don't know, though, how it works, how it's going to work. Because the country itself, I don't think many of the traditions of unionism that started unions from the sweatshops to the mines, to the auto industry and the steel industry, they don't have the workers like they,
right.
do anymore. They don't even have a lot of these are going all overseas, these plants and jobs. So the industries are not the same as they were, and there are new industries, and there have to be new ways to organize, and the fight just to stay for some, keep some,
yes.
of the conditions that we, that took 50 years to get. The child labor laws, even probably, not in this country, but when you have NAFTA and things, national organizations, that children all over the world are being, victimized by working hard for things that they make that they don't get enough wages,
right.
to even buy.
Exactly.
Would ever be able to buy. It's out of their range, and causing the migration of workers all over the world to. When they hear of jobs someplace, literally thousands and thousands of people go to these areas to try and get the jobs that hardly pay them enough money to even have food.
Exactly.
So I think a lot of things have to be changed within the world and not just the country as far as organizing. One can say unions, or some people think that's such a dirty word. And well-meaning people too say, "Oh, this is the cause. The union causes that." Well,
no.
Most of us who have read two books know that generally, the unions don't tell corporations what to do and how to do it, and governments what to do and how to do it. They never have. They very seldom. Maybe under Roosevelt they did a little bit, because there was a tremendous movement then. And a lot of that movement, lots started from people from Europe. I mean, Europe was much more involved in organizing workers way before this country even thought about it. We've always been that kind of thing. Well, you know, we can do anything we want, and if we want to hire that guy for, if he wants to work for that amount of money, and of course he take that money rather than starve. But you know, we do, and that great migration that came to the United States in the 1900s, so many of these people had been involved in fairly good jobs. It wasn't just poor people that immigrated here. There were people that just wanted a chance to spread out, so to speak, and not be so confined to European things, or they had ideas maybe that they want to, you know, where they couldn't do that
anymore. Right. So your basic view is maybe now more than ever, we need on a global scale the ability to organize.
Oh, definitely.
And that's what that's the good that people like the UFW and others can do, because it's become a global.
Well, I don't know if the UFW can do that.
I mean by example.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but I don't. You know, I think they're having a heck of a time even, you know, existing and trying to expand their sphere, so to speak. I mean, it's been pretty tough for them, and especially California depends so much of the politics in California of how the farm workers union can become stronger, because I guess it's the workers. There are only two industries. You can correct me. That don't fall under the federal labor laws. It's agriculture, and I forget what the other industry is. I mean, it's not an industry. It might be like home nursing or something. I'm not sure.
But agriculture is the big one.
Agriculture, and it's not under. So in California, we have our own California law, and most states don't even have this law that's similar to the federal law of protecting people who work in agriculture and giving them the right to organize. And if we have Republican governors, we have the committee that controls this, the agricultural committee that controls this, is non-existent under Republicans. They don't get money. They don't get it in the budget. Mm-hmm. They don't have meetings. When contracts are passed for the farm workers, they don't act on them. Because the corporations, especially agribusiness, do not want the union. So anyway, I mean, there's so many. It's so complex.
Sure. Let's